Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay and have had a great weekend. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Monday, March 17th. Coming up today, a major study reveals how many children in Kent are vaping. We'll hear about the historic building in Dover that's undergone a multi-million pound refurb, and the Gillingham boss reacts to their point on the road. But first, taking a look at our top story today. A Ramsgate woman has appeared in court on drug driving charges after members of the public had to take her car keys from her while she was on the school run. The judge has described it as one of the worst examples of drug driving he's ever seen. Nicola has been following this story for the podcast. Nick, the details of this story are frightening. What can you tell us?
Well, Hayley Berry was driving her young children to school in Broadstairs on November the 11th last year when she stopped her Ford C-Max in the middle of Grosvenor Road. Other parents were rightly concerned. One man took her keys because she didn't look like she was in a fit state to drive. Another woman walked the children to school. Police were called and arrested the 36-year-old at the scene. A blood test later found she had a byproduct of cocaine in her system as well as GHB.
Now, the courts also heard Hayley's had problems with addiction in the past. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. A reference from Hayley's sponsor was read out in court, which said she'd been trying to beat cocaine for a couple of years. She'd had two relapses in the last 24 months, but the letter outlined how she's now making better choices and has taken full responsibility for her actions.
And how was she sentenced?
Well, Hayley, who lives in Rosebery Avenue in Ramsgate, admitted drug driving and driving while unfit through drugs. She was jailed for 8 weeks, but that sentence was suspended for 12 months and she was ordered to do 100 hours of unpaid work. The judge also disqualified her from driving for 30 months and she was ordered to pay more than £230 in costs.
Thanks, Nick.
Kent Online News.
Firefighters have been tackling a number of fires over the weekend. First, a person's been taken to hospital after a blaze at a care home in Herne Bay. 56 residents had to be evacuated from the building in Central Parade yesterday. There was a huge emergency response, including police, paramedics and fire engines. It's thought to have been caused by an electrical fault. Next, fire engines have been called to a derelict building in Northfleet. The blaze broke out at the former Portland's Club on the High Street yesterday evening. No one was hurt and it's unclear how it started. And two people have been treated by paramedics after a fire in an underground bunker near Maidstone Hospital. Police, ambulance crews and six fire engines were called to Fulling Pits Wood off Hermitage Lane yesterday afternoon. We still don't know what caused that one. Now, a new study's revealed around 10% of teenagers in Kent are vaping. Data from a survey by the County Council shows products are being marketed towards youngsters on social media, with about half getting them from the corner shop. Nearly half of those who regularly do it say it helps them relax, with more than a quarter admitting they have an addiction. Nicola's been chatting to GP Dr. Julian Spinks.
I am concerned. As somebody who has been involved in long-term help for people to stop smoking, that we are having another generation of people who are going to be addicted to nicotine. And whilst vaping is not as dangerous as smoking, it's not to say that it is safe. And there are additional concerns about children and young adults because of the fact their brain is still developing. And so the effects of nicotine may be greater for them.
An awful lot of them in the survey as well said they were seeing vapes being advertised on smartphones or apps like TikTok, for example. How big a concern is that they're seeing it and it's in their face on quite a regular basis?
What we're seeing is similar behaviour to what the tobacco industry did in the past, which is to use every method they can which gets around regulations, which stops advertising to young people, because they really want that next generation of nicotine addicts to be in place.
I was quite interested in the study to see, while an awful lot of young people said they either were or they knew people were who vaped regularly, they kind of all agreed it wasn't very cool. Does it need to become as socially unacceptable as smoking for us to try and stop this habit amongst young people?
One of the biggest bits of progress we got was to make cigarettes socially unacceptable. And particularly amongst young people, it wasn't something that they felt it was a good thing to do. So if we can have a situation where vapes are no longer considered to be the cool thing to do, then those people who might be influenced because of that will probably not take it up.
And you mentioned, Julian, about how it is still dangerous, particularly amongst youngsters, because their brains are still developing. What sort of issues could they develop?
Nicotine is actually a toxic drug. It's developed by plants as a way of discouraging insects from eating them. And so it's not an entirely harmless condition. It can cause things like rapid heartbeat. It can obviously overstimulate people. And we also have a concern really long term with vapes is that we do not know that they are safe in the long term, whether it's in adults or children. But there's a greater concern with children because they have a smaller body size. So there's a bigger impact from a given amount of nicotine. Plus, they are growing and developing. And that means that there's a greater risk over long term that you'll have problems from vaping.
Youngsters were saying they were mostly getting them from corner shops. Do you think sales need to be restricted somewhat?
I think with the new bill, tobacco and vapes bill going through, that's going to make it much stronger. And we do need to enforce it. We had the same situation with cigarettes and other illegal drugs. If we don't enforce it, then it will carry on.
You can read this story and let us know what you think about young people vaping at kentonline.co.uk.
Kent Online News.
A woman who stabbed her partner at his flat in Strood has been found guilty of murder. Alan Tompkins was discovered at the property in July last year. This is the moment Nina Mercer was arrested.
What's your name?
Nina.
Nina, you're under arrest for murder. Okay, you do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defence if you do not mention.
Why? Why is this?
One question is such a pleasure to have a court. Anything you do say may be given in evidence, all right?
Well, what's happened?
The 43-year-old from Gun Lane had claimed she acted in self-defence and didn't intend to hurt him. She's due to be sentenced tomorrow. Now, follow Kent Online on socials to see a picture of a man police want to speak to after a member of staff was threatened at a Kent railway station. The suspect is said to have repeatedly visited Dover Priory in January and February. We're told a worker was harassed and threatened with violence. Uni bosses in Kent say they're working closely with the council after complaints about aircon units on their roof. The 10-foot-high ventilation equipment was installed on Canterbury Christchurch's Science and Medical Building in 2021 but blocked views of the cathedral. Bosses were given permission to leave some in place but had to put the rest at ground level, something that's not been done yet. A couple are calling for a council's parking system to be updated after being fined despite paying £290 for a new permit. Taryn and Carl Terolecki run a business in West Morling but don't have any parking, so use the car park in Ryarsh Lane. They renewed their season ticket early last September using the paperless system. They then parked one of their two vehicles and logged on to make sure it was registered to a permit. Instead of choosing the permit that was still in date, Carl accidentally clicked on the new one that wasn't valid yet. Then they got a fine, which council refused to overturn. Carl says it was an honest mistake.
I've got a season permit to park in a place where parking is not easy. I had purchased another season ticket, so I was in advance. I made the mistake of switching my vehicle on the incorrect permit. Simple mistake, because the system that the council uses is an archaic system. It's not easy. I've got two cars on one permit. I need to every day make sure that the right car is switched and is active. It creates anxiousness because you never know when you've maybe made the mistake. Anyway, on this particular occasion, I did switch the vehicle. I got a confirmation that it was switched. And guess what? I switched it on the wrong permit, which for a future dated permit, which meant that I had broken the law and I got a penalty. I then appealed it because I felt like it was a simple mistake where I just clicked the wrong permit and it was rejected. I then appealed it again with more evidence. It was rejected. I went through to adjudicator. The adjudicator couldn't do anything because by law I'd clicked the wrong permit. However, the council was given the opportunity to show some grace in the situation and that was rejected, because the archaic system, could not prove whether two vehicles or not were parked there. However, I presented evidence afterwards to show that I was actually in a completely different location and it was impossible. It's still been rejected. So what I've done is I've paid the fine and I've given the council an extra £10 to go and have a coffee on me. However, extremely annoyed. I don't feel that they've heard. I don't feel that I've been supported as a local business person. And I feel like taxpayers' money has been wasted on something that should never have been wasted on. It's wasted a lot of time. It's caused a lot of pressure for me. And so hopefully this little story will bring some change. We'll get a new system. People will be more looked after. Business owners will feel more welcome.
A spokesperson for the council said when we renew a permit, the start and end dates are made clear and it's the driver's responsibility to only switch to their new one from its start date. In this case, the permit used was still around 3 weeks away from being live. While Mr. Telecki may feel this is unfair, an independent adjudicator has also taken the view that it was his responsibility to link his car to the correct permit.
Kent Online News.
A developer has been forced to close a cut-through road in Canterbury after failing to complete essential safety works. Taylor Wimpey had been due to carry out the improvements to Chaucer Road, which links the A257 and Canterbury Crown Court. They were meant to complete the works by the 250th home, but have now built more than 360. Frustrated residents are calling for it to reopen. Sarah Leith has lived in military housing at the former Howe Barracks for more than a decade.
Obviously, it's a lot easier to get in and out if the gate is open, easier access for schools, but at the moment, because we live here and it's not very safe, my son's in a wheelchair, it's not very safe to bring him out and down. We're quite happy that it's shut at the moment. If they were to put the footpaths back in, then it wouldn't be a problem with it being open. But when they are open, the traffic is coming up and down so fast. Like, I've been knocked by a car, my daughter just got missed by a car, and we've had our car hit as well coming out of the gate. So ideally, it would be good if they could make this safe before they opened up the gates. When we moved here, it was never open in the first place. Camp was shut, the gates were shut. They only opened it for access for the workmen to come. So we're more than happy to wait because we never had access this way originally anyway. So we don't mind at all.
The council say they are aware of the delay and are actively working with the developer. Plans for a seaside home in Kent designed by artist Mr. Doodle look set to be approved. Sam Cox has put forward proposals for a bungalow in Dungeness inspired by his work. A planning committee at Folkestone Hythe Council will make a decision tomorrow. Bosses in Dover are hoping a newly restored building in the town will attract more tourists. It's taken 2.5 years to renovate Maison Du, which is a Grade 1 listed medieval hall. Work's underway to put all the furniture, paintings and armoury back in the building before it opens in May. Council leader Kevin Mills has been chatting to Nicola.
It's jaw-dropping. The change is immense. You know, I've never seen it, and I used to go in there when I was the mayor and back in the early 90s. It's completely different. It's taking it back to how it should be. You know, back to sort of the late 1800s when William Burgess did all that work.
For anyone who doesn't know Dover or perhaps doesn't know too much about this building, how significant is it and why did you decide to have the work carried out?
It's immensely significant. I mean, you know, it's got a history going back to what, 1200s. It was a place of rest and sort of almost a hospital for pilgrims. It's had a number of functions in its life. What is also great now is it's accessible. There's a new lift going in, there's a ground floor entrance. So, you know, anyone can get in and utilise it now, whereas before it was problematic for anybody that had mobility issues. So, you know, that's really positive. We want to get back to using it. It needs to be a focal point for the community and wider. And we want to make Dover a destination, not just a place you pass through. So, you know, we want to link this in to the Roman painted house, to the other heritage and cultural events we've got going on in Dover. So, you know, it is really important. And with the Roman painted house at one end and this at the other end of the high street, for want of a better phrase, and I know the high street does go on further than that, you know, we want people to be able to move between the two. So, yeah, it's a really exciting time.
I was very lucky to go to a gig there back in the day. It is a stunning venue. I mean, is that the sort of thing that you would see happening in future times?
I was down there with Jamie Pout, the deputy leader, today, and we were on the balcony looking down and said, you know, what a venue for entertainment. I think I did sing on the stage once at a beer festival, but that's another subject. But, you know, yeah, let's get back to using it for the people of the district, for the people of Dover. You know, we lack an entertainment venue, really. This wasn't built as a theatre, but as such, you know, it's got a stage. There's things that can go on there. And I know that the beer festival is looking to come back already, but you know what a fantastic setting for weddings and dinners.
Obviously, people look at how much money has been spent. Would you say it was worth every single penny?
I would do, because what do you do with a building like that if you don't invest in it? Because eventually it'll either fall down or somebody will want to turn it into flats. It was worth the money, in my opinion. I'm sure there'll be people that say it wasn't, but there's people that say, you know, the earth is still flat. We needed to invest in it. We managed to get it across the line. And now we're, you know, within weeks of actually having it open.
And finally, an American seafood chain has announced plans to open its first UK restaurant here in Kent. Captain D's is planning 20 new branches across Europe. Bosses haven't confirmed yet where the Kent one will be.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and it was a point for Gillingham on the road this weekend. Max Clark scored in the 94th minute through a clever free kick, and it ended 1-1 at Accrington Stanley. Gillingham boss John Coleman spoke to us after the final whistle.
I didn't like the game. It was reminiscent of a rugby union game, to be honest. Both sides were just playing for throw-ins and throw-ins into the box and shot plays into the box. Things a little bit of nervous energy for both teams, to be honest. But I think both teams can play better than that. Not much goal mouth action at all. We've got to be better when we're in and around the box. We've got to make better chances. You know, it's all right bemoaning the lack that we're not scoring goals. Our forwards have got to be better. But we've got to provide them a better service. And that was lacking. And it has been lacking all season, to be fair, if we're honest. And certainly since I've came, so I'm not absolved of any blame for that. But we've got to keep working at it. We've got to keep working at being positive in front of goal. Great move for the free kick after we wasted two. So the presence of mind that the two of them had to be able to execute that and then a strike by Max was fantastic. I think in the balance of the play, I think we deserved a draw. Probably not much more than a draw, if I'm honest. Got to thank our fans. They were magnificent coming again in the numbers. You know, it's an arduous trip. And I'm glad they were rewarded with a little bit of happiness at the end. Great scenes of celebration when we scored. And I was just thinking we could nick it. When we got another free kick going in the box, that would have been heaven. But you know, we move forward. It's another point on the board, another point closer to getting to probably the 46, 47 mark that we'll see us safe. But then we've got to start focusing on, you know, a style of football that can be. It's got to yield better attacking options. I must say the subs did well when he came on. You know. Everyone had an impact on the game.
Next up for the Jewels is a home tie against Walsall, who've decided to go ahead with the match despite a number of international call-ups in their side. And in ice hockey, Kent's Invicta Dynamos have made it through to the South Division 1 playoffs. They've secured back-to-back victories over Swindon Wildcats and Oxford City Stars over the weekend, and will take on Solent Devils at the end of the month. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.